Blog Talk Radio.
Hello out there. Welcome to the broadcast tonight. We are preparing our hearts to hear from the Word of God. So I encourage each and every one of you, go get your sword, get your pen, get your pad, and let's get ready to enjoy the Word of God. In the meantime, smile, because God has joy for you. Let's listen to Brother Marvin Winans as he expressed some of his joy that he has, okay? I'll see you in just a bit. Get your sword.
Where to go for help, and with the weight of the world on my shoulder, all the while my heart grew colder. Then one day I cried for help to come. Oh Lord, said I heard a voice, but I saw no one. And then your light
nation
totally
healed.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wish someone would join in with me right now and just say, thank you for the joy. Thank you for the joy. Thank you for the joy. I truly can say that God brings joy in my life. Not broad, not what he has done. Right now, at this present moment, not just past tense, but he bringing right now, he's continuing to shower me with joy. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to take out time to say thank you. I don't want the rocks to cry out and say thank you for me. I don't want the trees to blow in the wind saying thank you, praise God for blessing her. I want to take the opportunity to say thank you, God, for blessing me. Thank you for the joy that you instill in my life. Thank you for the peace that you give over my mouth. Thank you for the joy, understandable peace and joy that's in my heart. I thank you for my friends and family, dear Father, as they can recognize you are the source of their joy. You are the source of their peace. I thank you for touching leaders, dear Father, that in the midst of where they're at trying to spread the word, they have joy in their heart, joy in their walk, joy as they spring through life. I thank you for their joy of the one right now that is down and out and don't know where they're going to get their next meal, don't know how they're going to get that note paid, don't know where their spouse or their loved one is, but they're still choosing to get in the word. They're still choosing to fall on their knees. They're still choosing to turn down alcohol and drugs, but to stand up and give you praise. I thank you, Jesus, because that is because of your joy. Joy that you have given. Joy that the world can't take away. Joy that we're all searching for. Joy that our spirits have a void inside and can be replaced by any other thing, any other person. Those are just temporary feelings, but the real joy is down inside. The real joy will outlast you. The real joy will say, get up and go and praise the Lord when the flesh says, no, I don't feel like it. That's that real joy. The real joy was to speak the truth when the world is telling you if you do, you'll be ostracized. But real joy was stand there and mend and say, I'm sorry, even if you feel that I'm not wrong. Real joy will bring together that family unit and keep you from going out the strand with that man and that woman. But real joy keep you in that house with your family. Real joy. Real joy won't have to beg you to give, but real joy will reach out and see the need of others and realize that what you have is because God has given it to you. And if he's given it to you, that means that he must want you to share. And the more that you give, the more that he will give unto you. And he said that people will beg and knock down your door to give unto you because you are a giver. So real joy represents Jesus. Real joy represents your life. So you can speak one thing, but until you start to walk it, you shouldn't have to tell me of the joy in your life. I should be telling you, look at the joy all over you. Look at the peace all over you. Look at what you're doing. That is God's grace. That is God's joy. We're speaking of his joy today. Feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity just to stand before you, dear Father. Saying thank you, Jesus, for all that you are, all that you have done, all that you will do. We just praise you and honor you and glorify and magnify your name. And we come thanking you, dear Father, for just allowing us to come and accept your word and hear your word, grow from your word, that word that will take us to our next day, our next step, our next breath. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as we recognize that we are nothing without you. All that we are is because of you. All that we see and that we act on it is because of your grace and your mercy. And we ask you to just allow me to decrease and step in and use me as your vessel, dear Father. Use this ministry, Tri-Anointed Ministries, dear Father, to speak your word to your people in the way that you would have. In Jesus' name, come on, Jesus, we invite you in. Yes, Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our scripture tonight is coming out of the New Testament, and it's coming from the book of John, John 21, and it's just going to be just a couple verses here in John 21, and then we're going to jump back over in John, but we're going to go back to John 8 and 11, where we ended off last night. So John 21, and we're going to go to verse 15 is where we're going to start. And we're talking about Jesus as he reinstates Peter. Somebody needs to reinstate somebody and say, I forgive you. I will accept your forgiveness. I just feel that in my heart right now. Just you need to check that out. God forgave you for what you did, and you know what you did. You know what you did. The person that you won't forgive may not know about it, but you know what you did. Hallelujah. So God says you need to drop that mess and go ahead and forgive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. John 21:15 says, and when they have finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. We're going to go right back over. If you just go back, we're going to stay in the book of John so you don't have to travel far. Let's go from John 21, and we're just going to go to John 8. John 8, and we're going to do verse 11 very quickly here. Verse 11, exactly where we was at on last night. Feed my sheep. Don't forget there. That was John 21, 16, 17, 15 through 17. Write it down. Carry it with you in your heart. Tack it up wherever you need to. Remember the word. Don't just read it. Keep it there with you. And now we're at John 8, and we're doing verse 11. Hallelujah. And it reads, let's just back up to number 9. It says, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left. When the woman was still standing there, Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No, sir, she said. Now remember, this is where we was talking about, touching about last night, as far as your accusers coming before you, your accusers, once you've been bought out, because see, somebody had probably touched and told on them. So all of these men decided that now that we have been ousted and all of our dark secrets are out here, out of the darkness, now standing in the light, we're being held accountable for those. Why not turn against the one that we were abusing? It was only one of her, but many of them. So they all came against her, you know, as your accusers will do. And so they all came against her, and she ran to the only safety place that she knew. She ran to Jesus. But your accusers will take you and chase you and chase you right into the arms of the Lord. If you don't fret, they will chase you right to where you need to be, as it is with her. And so as they're standing here and they're condemning her, this woman did this, this woman. Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Well, she had to be having an adultery affair with someone, right? But the one who is the one with her is the one who's telling on her. Teacher, this woman is the one who was having an adulterous affair. So now as we jump through and we come down after Jesus has spoke to them, and told them, and you know the story, he laid the law out through his word, and he just told them, I understand what you're saying, paraphrasing here, but the ones that you are, if you have no sin, go ahead and pick up your stones that you're trying to stone her with. Go ahead and throw the first stone, ye without sin. And they began to walk away because they are the ones, the accusers are the ones who were in the midst of all of your troubles, maybe starting your troubles, but the ones that have chased you to your Savior. That's why I say, regardless of what you go through, if you stay on your knees, that pathway will lead you to your Savior. But he tells the woman, it's where we're going tonight. He tells her, now look up. Has anyone here, who's left? Where are your condemners? Who's left? And she says, he tells her, well, neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin. In the Amplified Bible, it says, go and sin no more. So our subject for tonight is feed my sheep. And then we're going to sub offer that as go and sin no more. Hallelujah. Go and sin no more. You know, we like to pattern our lives after so many people. And we even look in the Bible and we can definitely try to pattern our life after David. You know, David was had a heart for God, didn't he? But even David, we shouldn't base our life on David. Because he's really not the example that he was flesh. So as many things in David's life that we would not be able to use as perfect examples of how we want to live. Amen? He may have been a man after God's own heart. Let's give him that, because he was. Because he was a tender-hearted. But David's trouble with women. David had a problem with women. Hallelujah. And that problem followed him all of his life. That problem hindered his destiny. That same root problem followed him straight down to his children. You know the story. His daughter was raped by his son, and then his son Solomon, he struggled with lust too. Too many people use David's lives as an excuse to fall into the immoralities. Well, you know, David had the heart for God, but, you know, even he failed. We all fall short. But again, if we're talking about leaders who are shepherds that are supposed to be feeding the sheep, we cannot afford to hide behind an excuse. We spoke about that last night. We cannot afford to fall behind the excuses of, you know, using David as an example, when they should be learning from David's mistakes. You say, well, this message is just for leaders, okay? Who are you leading? Because if you're a parent, you're a leader. If you're a teacher, you're a leader. If you're a preacher, you're a leader. And I know that shouldn't have to be said, but so many people are up in pulpits, and they walk out of those church doors, and they turn into a totally different person. You would never recognize that that's the same character. But you are a leader. Jesus was a true shepherd of his people. Leaders need to base their life on Jesus. We need to stop looking at who we visibly see every day and trying to find a leader. I love my girl Oprah, but, you know, why do we fall so in love with people like that? Leaders, and then we're so disappointed when she determines and reveals to you that, hey, I'm just flesh. I make mistakes. Our celebrities are our basketball players or football players, or it could just be a preacher in your neighborhood. We are looking for someone that we can cherish, that we can just base our lives upon it. We sit from time to time and just reminisce or just imagine what it would be like to be this person. But I'm telling you that leaders should base their lives on Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has a pure example. You hear? Pure, P-U-R-E. Completely. He's pure, a pure example of what love is, what leadership is about. His love for people helped him to endure all of the temptations and yet not sin. when he went to the cross, he still was sinless. The only sins that he had is when he bore your sins, when he bore my sins. But it was his love for people, his love as a shepherd, his love for feeding his sheep was what made him endure all of those temptations. Jesus brought glory to God in his treatment of women. Are you bringing glory to God in the situation you're in right now? Husbands, are you bringing glory to God of the way that you're treating your wife, of the way that you're treating your daughters? Are you bringing glory to God? See, unlike David, Jesus saw women as much more than just a sexual object. Jesus was the true shepherd of his people. As you're looking around, whatever you're leading, teachers, are you able to endure the temptation of these young little girls who've got Lucretius on the teacher? Are you able to go through that struggle and not bend down and not bow down to it and start messing with these young girls? Teachers, are you able to endure through the love of you as a shepherd to teach and feed your sheep? Are you able to endure and pass all the temptation of these young teenage boys who are going through puberty and looking at you as a sex object? Are you able to pass by that and keep your shepherd hat on, continue to feed your sheep instead of falling in the pastures with them? Come on, devil, get out of here. Do you hear what I'm saying? It is the love of being who you are, knowing that your position, that who placed you there as a leader, as a shepherd, that would lead you to feed your sheep and pass through the temptations. Hallelujah. Do you know how to recognize a true shepherd? See, a true shepherd has the smell of their sheep. A true shepherd is out there gathering. They're out there cleansing. They're out there pampering. They're out there spending extra hours to make sure that your shepherd, your sheep are learning what it is that you as a shepherd is teaching them today. A true shepherd will smell of their sheep. They love people enough to put the good of the people above their own fleshly desires. You don't have to be a pastor to still care for your sheep. You can tend to them by just living right. You can tend to your sheep by showing them what it means to live for God. Single woman, women out there, you can tend for the sheep by being an example to the single young women out here that is growing up today. Show them, exemplify how it is to be a single woman and wait on your husband, wait on your mate. Show them in your dress style. Show them in the way that you speak. Show them in the way that you continue to live and push on and educate yourself and do things that's worth educating and growth in your life while you stand waiting, still praying for your mate. You don't stop and you don't just run out and show them that you don't have to date everything that you see. Saying that I'm looking for, because if you're looking, your eyes is going to be so concentrated on your issue, your problem at the time, which is I don't have a spouse, that you'll never be able to stand back and let God give you what it is he already sees, because you're too busy looking, but God already sees. If you're a leader, you should be showing someone how to live a godly life. Just remember Jesus' conversation with Peter, as we read in John 21, 16 and 17. Jesus asked him three times, "Lovest thou me?" he said. Then he commanded. What was his commandment? Feed my sheep. Why do you think he asked him over? He's asking you the same thing. He really wants to know, open your heart. Don't just speak from your mouth. But in your lifestyle, as you do your self-examination, are you feeding my sheep? Are you showing your love for God? Do you really love me? Then protect my lamb. If you really, really love me, then feed my sheep. Then protect my sheep as they coming up, young girls showing their body. Instead of looking, protect my sheep by saying something positive and leading them in a direction that would lead them back to their Savior, to God, to the right road, to some woman that would be able to teach them, show them. Do you love people enough to put on your shepherd hat and keep it on? In the midst of all the things that's going on, that you keep your shepherd hat on. In the midst of all the arguments that's going on in your home, but you keep your shepherd hat on. And you decide that I'm going to still be the shepherd. I'm still going to lead this family, my sheep. I'm not going to sit here and destroy them by just saying any old thing that comes to my mind. But I'm going to go in prayer, and I'm going to separate myself, and I'm going to go in prayer. I'm going to clear my mind and let, ask God to fill it, renew my spirit, give me strength to go through another day. Let me start pulling out the word. If I have to tack it back up so I can read it in every room that I go into, I got to remind myself on the word. I got to walk on the word. I got to stand on the word. I got to, until I can get to where I need to be, until that word is so in me that regardless of what is said, it just doesn't spill out some nastiness that's still off inside of me, just come out and just hurt somebody and cut and dice my family. My kids are now all insecure. My wife don't know which way to turn. She don't know what she can say and what she can't say. My husband is just henpecked because he's afraid of what you're going to do and how you're going to embarrass him when he goes out. And what the more he try, you can't lift him up and say, appreciate what he's doing, but you tear him down because you make a little bit more money than him, because you do a little bit more than him, because you saw a little bit more. But don't forget, he's still your head of your household. And if he's leading and following after God, God expects you to submit to that man. Now, I know we'll have to talk about on another broadcast exactly what submission is about, because, woman, don't fringe up. Don't say, no, I'm not bowing down. I'm not doing that to any man. But God's submission is totally different. You'll find that your man will rise up and do anything for you when you just get behind him, when you just push him, and when you just lift him up instead of tearing him down, when you compliment him instead of laughing at his mistakes. It takes a strong woman to stand beside a stronger man. How do you think he gets that strong? It's that strong woman, the words of encouragement. Hallelujah. Standing together and co-shepherding over your sheep. Not just going off and telling the kids one thing and don't tell your dad, but standing there with your dad, with your spouse, and you and your spouse working it out together, and then you present whatever it is you decided to the kids, and you stand firm with your spouse as you issue those warnings of that decision out to the kids, the sheep, to the shepherd, co-shepherding. Decide together that this is the way you're going to feed my sheep. I invite you all to remember, God sees all, God hears all, and God knows all. There's nothing you can't take to God. There is no situation that is too big for God. And while you're trying so hard to figure it out and how you're going to make it through, how you're going to get through this situation without a divorce, how you're going to make this promotion happen for you, God already knows the answers. He said we can bring all of our requests to him. I invite you to do that in the name of Jesus. Remember, you can contact me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. Walkwithmegod@aol.com. We invite you to rate the show. If you're dropping off now, we invite you to come back. Look into the archives. Use the word so it can be, so we can use all the situations in your life for the good of those who love the Lord. You love the Lord. I know what you're doing right now doesn't show that, but in your heart, you're saying, I love the Lord. I just keep going the wrong directions. I keep having the same problems that David had with women. I can't seem to get over that. Keep on trying. Go and sin no more. Don't give up so fast. Don't lose sight of God. If you're a leader, you got to be destined to be a sheep feeder. So don't focus on what the sheep can do for you. So many shepherds is worrying about, what can the congregation do for me? What can my spouse do for me? Don't get caught up on what the sheep can do for you, because that's not their purpose. They aren't there to feed your ego. But you're there to feed their soul. You as the shepherd, you are there to help them overcome in life. Don't be so frightened when you see young people come up and they doing some of the weirdest things, or they got skeletons, or they got all the evil-looking things trying to look as weird as they can, trying to freak you out. Remember, don't fray away from the sheep. That's just a lost sheep looking for a shepherd. And if God has placed that sheep in your life under your care, you can't decide that I'm not going to be a shepherd to that one. That sheep doesn't look like the rest of my sheep over here that I've been shepherding. All of my sheep know what to do when I say this and that. But just remember, it's something. You said, but that weird one, that one right there, he keeps coming back. She keeps always around me. You know why? Because a sheep knows a shepherd's voice, and God has placed that sheep in your pastures. So don't look to see what you're going to gain from this sheep. Don't look because you think that, oh, this one right here is not, you know, not going to be tameable. It's not about you anyway. It's about the word of God that he's using you as a shepherd to get to his sheep. Let him feed his sheep. All we got to do is be willing servants. Can you be that willing servant? Be that shepherd that would feed God's sheep? Will you show your admiration to the Lord by standing and feeding his sheep? Hallelujah. So again, don't look for what that sheep looks like right now. Don't look for what that sheep can do for you. You're there to feed their souls. You're there to help them overcome all of the obstacles in life that you may be overcoming too, or you have overcame. Don't get so caught up that you lose sight of God. And this temptation, we've spoke all through this sermon about the different temptations. You say, what do I do when I'm tempted? You have to look to God. You as the shepherd, you've got to look to God. Your sheep are dependent on you to look to God. I remind myself that he is always with me. So I look at temptation and then I look at God. Because I remind myself that he is always with me. Someone said some things, to hurtful things to my brother who just lost his wife to cancer, and said some hurtful things to her, and it was, That's my man. I protect the men of my family. And it was just tempting for me to just say, whoa, I need to call this person. But I said, you know, I don't want to argue. I want to maybe see what the root cause of it is. Let's see, can we go? But God said, no, it's not. That's not it. It wouldn't work out like that. So as tempting as that was, because I know that she know how I feel about the men of my family, so I know she was expecting a call from me. But as tempting as it was, I looked at the temptation, and then I looked at God. You hear what I'm saying? I was tempted to call the sister, but I looked at that temptation, and then I looked at God. How would I glorify God? How would I minister to this sister if I go off on her? How will she receive God's word from me? So I looked at that temptation, and then I looked back at God. When that young girl is running up trying to flirt on you, push up on you, you got to look at that temptation, but then you got to look at the God in you. And if he who lives in you, you got to remember he's more stronger than anything out there in the world. You just got to look to him. You just got to recognize and say, God, you are my God. You that live inside of me. I'm turning to you. I'm turning away from this temptation. I know that you who are getting ready to cheat on that bar exam, You may be getting ready to go out. You're tired of all the bickering in your household. And this other man out here, this other woman out here seems to say all of the right things at the right time. You know why? Because they're not your spouse. They don't have to put up with you every day. They don't know the things that you do on the inside of your home. When they see you, you're all fixed up. Everything is looking good. They don't know your little secrets that you're hiding here that your spouse has to put up with. They don't know those things. So you better look at that temptation, and then you better look at God. You better look at that temptation, sir, before you mess up everything that you had. And then, ma'am, you better turn around and look at God. And you better decide quickly that it is God who's more important to me. It is God who I'm living for. That man doesn't have a heaven or hell to put you in. So ain't no need of you trying to impress him. But God has created a place. And he said, where I am, I have gone ahead and prepared this place that you may be with me one day too. It's not going to be a temporal thing like this relationship with this man or this woman. But he said, I prepared this place for you for eternity. He's always with you. So I look at the temptation, and then I look at God. Sometimes I look back at that temptation, but again, I go and I look at God. And then to God be the glory. So I'm not telling you that it's easy when the tempter is attacking you, but I know that if you keep your eyes on God, you'll be able to overcome it all. If you keep your eyes on God, you'll be able to overcome it all. Job could have looked at all the things that was going on. Job could have decided to listen to his wife. He could have decided to listen to his friends. You know the three that came to sat with him to discourage him. You know those three. Same thing in your life. He got to keep his eyes on God. Look at the source on your body, as Job did, as he's just scratching himself, trying to find some relief. And no relief is in sight. But he had to keep his mind, even though he thought about different things as far as his aspect, but he had to keep his mind on God. Look at how tempting it would be to just go off and do as my wife said, I'm sure he thought. But oh, no. That's my God. That's my God. You got to keep your mind on God. So even though it's not easy, you can't lose sight. You would give up on feeding anybody's sheep. You won't even want to feed those inside of your home. You'll walk away and just throw your hands up and say, hey, here's my shepherd's hat. Anybody want it? There it is. How many shepherd's hats have you just saw floating up and down the street? You see all these young people walking out here. You see that they're parental deprived. No parental guidance in their life at all. Somebody's just thrown in their shepherd's hat. Said, I'm going to leave it to the world to feed my sheep. Somebody's just said, you know, states, you can just take them. Come and take them. I don't want them. I can't do it anymore. I want to be free. I made a mistake with the four kids that I have. I want to be free. I'm throwing in my shepherd's hat. I don't care what happens. You take them. You feed those sheep if you choose to. I choose to do something different. I choose to do something different. And then you see them, they go out there and they're pregnant again. They got another child. I'm just like, didn't you just give up four? This is going to be different this time. You got to make sure that you're wearing your shepherd's hat. You can't go and try to look at somebody else and do what they said. You thought it was going to be cute to have those babies. And then you realize that those babies turn into little toddlers, and those toddlers turn into little kids, and those kids turn into young tweens and adolescents and teenagers and young adults and grown, but think they're not grown, but think they're grown, and then go into grownhood, but then they're acting like a child. It's a lot that goes along with this thing. You better look at that temptation and look at the long road and what it's going to lead you to. But God has a long road too. It's for eternity. For eternity. If you're willing to go, he's already got it prepared for you. If you're willing to go. all you've got to do is go and sin no more. Now, we spoke about that, but let's touch on it a little bit more tonight. That means that those same old sins shouldn't be something that you're repeatedly doing day after day. Day after day. We all fall short of the glory of God. But you should not be falling in the same pit holes every day. Do something is wrong. Something is wrong. You need to look at who's leading you. Who is your leader? Everybody needs a leader. Who is your leader? Who is the one that is there to shake their finger in your face and say, you need to get right. You need to get right. It's not easy when the tempter is attacking you, but it is possible. My point is never lose sight of God. Lest you dishonor him. And when you dishonor God, you disrespect yourself. When you dishonor God, you disrespect yourself. In my closing tonight, I ask you, if you do not know God as your Lord, as your Savior, someone that you can call on, someone that you are wanting to respect, someone that means so much to you that you're able to turn away from those temptations. Because if you don't know him as your personal Savior, you won't have any way of turning away from those temptations. You don't have nothing to turn to. But I ask you to just stop for wherever you're at. Close your eyes. If you can't speak it out loud, just speak it in your heart. And just repeat after me. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me for all of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. I just want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me, for shedding your blood for me. And I receive you as my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, if you just prayed this prayer, let me just be the first one to join in with all the heavenly hosts as they are clapping and rejoicing, saying congratulations, calling out your name. Amen. They're calling out your name right now. Patricia, they're calling out your name right now. Mighty Cruz, they're calling out your name right now, saying congratulations, because you are a new creature in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the New Testament says, all things are passed away, but behold, all things are become new right now. So, friend, you have a whole new life, a whole new life. That's so exciting. You have a whole new life with Jesus to look forward to. Jesus didn't come to bore out your life, but excitement in your life, joy in your life, a whole new life. You, what you're doing now wasn't exciting to you at 3. You knew nothing about drugging it and drinking it up. That was something you had to learn. Jesus has a word. He wants to show you a whole new life, a brand new slate. Your slate is wiped clean before God. Your spirit has been reborn because of Christ's great sacrifice and his love for you. I would love to hear that you've just repeated that prayer. Just send me something. Say, I just accepted God as my Lord and Savior. Let me get some books out to you. Let me get some information. Let me pray with you when you're down. Let me tell you your next steps that you need to take right now, because you are a new creature in Christ. I will see you back here tomorrow night. And remember that God loves you more than anything, more than anyone. God bless you. Congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ. I love you, but God loves you more. Oh, and no more.
Couldn't bear stealing. So I wait, see how it lays. Live better than promises. made.